You're listening to a For the Girls podcast Flashback Friday episode. Every Friday, I reshare an older episode for new listeners who haven't heard it, or as a refresher for OG listeners who might need to hear it again as a reminder. Enjoy, and I'll see you with a new episode on Monday.
Settling is not an option for me. Everything I desire is already mine. What if you can have it all? Because every day is for the girls.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of For the Girls. I'm your host, Victoria Alario. And today we're talking about healing your inner child. And this is something that has always been important to me. I feel like over the years, you've always heard me talk about like doing hobbies, picking up hobbies and doing things that just like make your soul happy and heal those parts of you, like your inner child. But I think this has been I've been thinking about this more recently, ever since I got engaged, how important it is for one, you obviously to heal your inner child on your own and do that, your own type of work, that inner work, but also to be with a partner and to make sure that the partner that you choose brings out the inner child in you. And why I'm saying since I got engaged is because if you heard my engagement story, which I did share on the podcast, I uploaded a whole episode giving like all the details on that. So listen to that if you have not. But if you heard that, then you already know we got engaged during Christmas time, which is like, hello, me in, you know, if you had to wrap me up in a bow and here is exactly what Victoria is, box it up like that, it would be Christmas. And that is a huge part of, you know, my inner child. I just always grew up that way. I always grew up loving Christmas. It was pretty much since I was a child, the only holiday I ever cared about. Never cared about Halloween, which I feel like young kids always do, like dressing up and all that. Nothing ever held a candle to Christmas. And that was like a very big thing for me. But even aside from the fact that it was at Christmas time, I did things that I always wanted to do that I never, A, got a chance to do, B, never invested into doing, just never made the effort to do, which would be staying at the Plaza. Grew up always wanting to stay at the Plaza between, you know, Eloise at the Plaza and Home Alone 2 being at the Plaza, which we watched Home Alone 2 in bed in our, you know, suite at the Plaza, which was a big deal because you're like in the Plaza watching the movie that, you know, made you like find out what the Plaza even is in the first place, you know, as a kid. Also, let me just say something, because the Plaza very much, this is just like a side note, but just want to put it out there. The Plaza very much takes like pride in the Home Alone thing. There's like, it's featured a lot in there. They gave us like a little like Christmas ornament that has to do with Home Alone 2. There's like, it's like a very well-known thing. Like it's a big deal that the Plaza was featured in Home Alone 2. So when you turn on the TV, it's like there, like if you want to watch Home Alone 2. So, and it doesn't say anything about like price. It doesn't say anything. It's just like there, like a featured movie, like if you want to watch this. So we were like, obviously, yes. So we put it on. When my fiance got the bill for the room, he was charged $25 to watch the movie. $25. I'm pretty sure on your own movie, on your own TV, in your own home, to rent a movie on Amazon Prime is like $19.99. So I'm not saying rent. I'm saying to buy, to own the movie. To rent on Amazon Prime is like $3 or $4. So if you want to own the movie on your Prime account, on your TV, and watch it every day for the rest of your life, you could pay $20. But if you want to watch it one time at the Plaza, it's $25. I thought that that was crazy. He thought that was crazy, especially because it didn't say anything. It didn't say like rent this for $25. It just was like, feature movie if you want to watch it. So a little warning there for anybody who goes in the future. You will be paying $25. If you're like really on a budget and you do the math and you break it down, like, all right, I'm staying at the Plaza so I can only afford a slice of pizza after this. I can't afford another thing. And you buy that movie, you watch that movie, you're going over budget, okay? So just keep that in mind. But in any case, all of those things, everything to do with my engagement, from the Plaza, from the movie, for all the Christmas time, whatever, were very, very, very healing and made me happy in a way. I'm not just like, I'm engaged. I'm happy that I'm engaged. But in a way that was like, you get me. You understand my soul. You understand what my soul needs and what would make me happy for years and years and years to come. Like a timeless happiness, not like a materialistic happiness, not like a, you know, shiny object syndrome. Like I gave you this present that you're really going to enjoy, or this, there's this next big thing that you're going to enjoy. No, it was something that is just timeless that I will cherish forever. And I think that it is so important when choosing a partner that you choose a partner who gets you. I also think it's very important that we do our part too in making these things known, because oftentimes I think women and girls hope or expect their partner to be a freaking mind reader. And like, if he does something wrong or doesn't do it exactly the way that they would have liked, they, you know, get disappointed, they get upset, they tell me, they're like, do I drop him? He did this or he did that, like whatever the case is. And I'm always questioning like, well, have you communicated this? Like, does he know this? I forget. I think it might've been it was either an Instagram DM or a TikTok comment of somebody who right around Christmas time was very upset with what her boyfriend got her for Christmas. And I think they were like a new couple, like that was their first Christmas together. They never exchanged before. And, you know, she was like super upset with what he got her. She was underwhelmed. She felt like he didn't get her anything special or anything specific. It was more just like, oh, okay, here's a gift I could get for her. And so I had said to her, well, first of all, I know that I sent her this podcast episode to listen to. Guys, I just always have a podcast episode to refer back to. So bear with me while I look this up. It is, okay, so Flashback Friday, gifts are a love language. Being known is being loved. And what bad gifts say about your partner. Uploaded November 22nd, 2024. So it's a Flashback Friday. The original episode is much older, but go to November 2024. You'll find this one. And I sent it to her because I was like, first things first, I am going to send you this to listen to because it does say something about your partner to put no thought or no effort into this gift. But secondly, did you give him the chance to know what you would like? Have you expressed to him, first of all, if you're in a new relationship, I feel like you should just tell them what you want for Christmas. Like, I feel like, you know, if they don't know you well enough yet, you guys haven't exchanged gifts yet, things like that, like just give them a roundabout idea of what you would like. Let's start there. But in general, just like communicate your interests, communicate the things that you enjoy. Again, those inner child things. Let them know what you would think is special, you know? So it's aside from just like, okay, it's a bad gift, so it's a bad partner. It's also like you having to make sure that you're having these deeper conversations with your partner. You're finding out if you're compatible. The whole Christmas thing, like my fiance and I are very compatible on in general. Like we both very much value Christmas. Christmas Eve is both of our favorite holiday. So to be honest with you, we have not spent Christmas Eve together. Well, our first Christmas, 2023, I did go away. I was not here at all. My family and I went to Italy. But now 2024 that just passed was our first Christmas actually physically together. Second Christmas in general, but first Christmas that I was going to be here. And we did not spend Christmas Eve together because it's both of our favorite holiday, with both of like his with his family, mine with my family. Neither one of us willing to give up the holiday with our families. So we actually did not spend it together, even though we literally just got engaged. You would think like you're engaged, like you have to spend it together, but we spent Christmas Day together. So that was fine. I was like, I don't care. If you don't care and I don't care, then who cares? Like we don't have to follow a societal norm or like a standard just because, you know, like it's both of our holidays with our family, you know, it is what it is. So we were very compatible when it came to, you know, certain things like that, that really matter to, like I said, my inner child. And when picking a partner, you need to make sure that you're vetting so, so, so hardcore in the beginning to see if they even appreciate those things. Because for me, the little things are way more important than the big things. Like the big things, they're nice. And they are great for, like, you know, to celebrate something. Okay, cool, whatever. But what will have that, like, soul healing effect on you are those small special things that only they would be able to provide for you because you shared that with them. Like, maybe no one else in the world knows that about you, or maybe like your family, your parents, like maybe they do, but like they don't know you on that intimate level because you have a different sort of, a romantic relationship should be your most intimate relationship of all of the relationships that you have. This should be like your other half, you know, like the person who knows you more than anyone or any, whatever, any relationship in the world. And so I kind of just lost my train of thought. Where was I even going with that? Oh yeah. My point is that those little special things that no one else would be able to provide for you, it's important that you, you know, are aware of what that is for your partner and you make your partner aware of what that is for you. And aside from holding your partner responsible for those things, I think we need to hold ourselves responsible and do those things even on our own time. Forget the partner. It has less to do with what someone else can do for you and more to do with like you making it a priority and you making the effort to do more of what you just grew up loving, what you always loved doing. Sometimes we grew up loving something, and then as we get older, between school or work or becoming a parent, just like busyness, we give it up because we pour into every other bucket. We're pouring into everyone else's cup, emptying from our own cups. And now it's like, okay, and none for Gretchen Wieners, you know, like, okay, and none for you. And so then maybe like, no one would even think to do XYZ for you because they don't even think that you care about it enough or that you love it enough because you don't make the time for it in your life. You have not prioritized it. For some reason, it just reminded me of that saying that's like, you teach others how to love you. Like how you love yourself teaches and shows others how to love you. So pouring into yourself, giving yourself self-love, taking care of yourself, healing your own inner child, picking up the hobbies and investing the time and effort into the things that you always loved will show those around you how important that is to you. But it's aside from everybody else, it's more about you allowing yourself to feel at peace. I always talk about the importance of hobbies because to me, hobbies are things that you don't necessarily put a goal on or like a cap on or like a monetary, you know, compensation type of thing. Like I need to earn or achieve XYZ. I want to win this or I want to make money off of that or I want to, you know, whatever, be compensated for this or rewarded for this. It's more of just a peaceful thing. It's more of something that you just get to do just because it's fun. And I feel like I always talk about picking up a hobby and people always say, I don't have the time. But those are the same people who are constantly stressed, constantly putting themselves on these like restrictive timelines of like, this has to happen by XYZ, whatever the case is, making themselves really high strung or, you know, stressed out. What's the word that I'm looking for? Like just uptight in general, like not having any time for recreation, fun, a social life, whatever. And I was there. I could understand those people because I was that person at a point in my life. If you're watching this, yes, I'm putting this blanket on me right now. I'm getting a little chilly. I was that person at a point in my life when, you know, I really started in my career and I felt like that was the end all be all. So if I did not, you know, make the most money on a weekly or monthly basis, then you know, I was not succeeding. Like that took the full priority. That was like the number one, number two, number three, number four, and number five slot on like my totem pole. And it makes complete sense why I still always felt like things were missing. Like I was doing everything that I set out for myself to do. I was making the money that I desired, but at the same time, I still felt unfulfilled. It always felt like nothing was ever enough. And I would say that a big part of that had to do with the fact that I always had like a guilty conscience if I was doing anything unproductive. So I was one of those who used to always say all the time, like, if you have 3 hours to sit and binge a Netflix show, then you have 3 hours to invest into your business, you know? Cringe. I take it back, guys. Like, I take it back, okay? I don't think that I've accepted that I used to post things like that yet. I don't think anybody else gives a shit. But for me, I always look back and I'm like, ew, am I well? But in any case, I used to feel really guilty if I was unproductive, which would mean doing anything other than growing my business, doing anything other than whatever I could make money off of. And so that mindset plays a really big role and factor in, you know, whether or not you make the time to heal your inner child, to do the things that make you happy, to do the things that you always love doing.
Starting something new isn't just hard, it can be terrifying. So much work goes into this thing that you're not entirely sure will work out, and it could be scary to make that leap of faith. Trust me, I know. When I started this podcast, I wasn't even sure what I was doing. What if no one listens? What if I do something wrong? What if no one buys my products? All the questions that we're all asking. Now, I know that I was right in believing in myself and launching this podcast despite all the fears and hesitations. It also helps when you have a partner like Shopify on your side to help. Shopify is the commerce platform behind millions of businesses around the world and 10% of all e-commerce in the US, from household names like Skims and Rode to brands just getting started. You'll be asking yourself questions like, but what if people haven't heard about my brand? Well, Shopify helps you find your customers with easy-to-run email and social media campaigns. And questions like, what if I get stuck? Not to worry, Shopify is always around to share advice with their award-winning 24/7 customer support. So it's time to turn those what-ifs into with Shopify today. Sign up for your $1 per month trial today at shopify.com/forthegirls. Go to shopify.com/forthegirls. That's shopify.com/forthegirls. My bookworm girls are going to love this, especially if you're anything like me and you love when your reads get under your skin and you have no idea what's coming next and the suspense won't let you put the book down. That is definitely The Wedding Vow by Dandy Smith, and you need to get your hands on it immediately. It's a domestic suspense thriller where nothing is quite as it seems. It has everything you want in a suspense novel: secrets, lies, emotional damage, and the deeply unsettling feeling that somebody absolutely should not be trusted, and of course, an affair. This book is pretty much one that takes the whole shiny, romantic, my husband is my rock idea and just casually sets it on fire, because beneath all the picture-perfect appearances, The Wedding Vow is packed with tension, deception, and the kind of twists that make you stop and go, oh wow, so everyone here is making terrible choices, which for me is, of course, ideal reading. Imagine realizing you don't know your husband at all, and the truth and shocking secrets are a lot more dangerous than you'd ever imagine. This book is full of that addictive thriller energy where you think you know what's going on, and then the author basically leans in and says, you really thought, huh? So if you like books by Geneva Rose or even Freida McFadden that keep you on the edge of your seat, then you are going to love this one. The Wedding Vow by Dandy Smith is available now wherever books are sold, so go grab your copy today.
I can think of a million things that I grew up doing that, like, I just eventually gave up. Dancing, acting. Granted, I have no interest in acting anymore, but I was in theater. All the things that I spent so much time, so many years investing into, and then it's like, one day, I just never danced again, you know? Like, and you think about it, and it's kind of sad. You're like, you spent... I think I started dancing at 2 competitively till I was, well, I started dance classes at 2. I started dancing competitively at 4, and I danced competitively up until like 8th grade, like up until I went into high school. So say 14 years old. So from 2 to 14 in itself is 12 years. And then after that, I danced like in high school, just, you know, as a class, like an elective, whatever. So, and I think I only did that for 3 years, maybe, or maybe two. I kind of forget. But let's say in total, I danced for about 15 years of my life. And then that was it. Like after high school, I guess I just like never danced. I can't even think about it. I don't even remember. But it's like, wow, you invested something, like so much time into something for so many years. You loved it. You enjoyed it. And then one day you just, whether it's that you grew out of it or one day you just no longer made the time for it. And then that was really it. And maybe if I did take a dance class, I would thoroughly enjoy it. Maybe I wouldn't, but maybe I would go and do it and be like, holy shit, this just really healed something within me. Like I needed to let this out of my system. I needed to let loose. I needed to dance. And that's just one example, but there was always things. I am a big like arts and crafts person. I've always liked to paint. I mean, I'm not artistic. Like I'm not a good drawer or painter, but I've always liked to do it. And I find that I make it a point to always continue to do things like that up until, you know, even including now. Like I keep bringing up Christmas, but I know that for Christmas we painted mugs. I bought like clear, like white Santa mugs, and we painted them to, you know, paint the Santa however we want. And that was like such a fun date night for me because I always enjoyed anything arts and craftsy. I like to paint. I like to do anything like that in general that like I just grew up always enjoying. And I feel like every single time that I do it, it brings me that sense of peace, like I mentioned, because there's no goal in mind other than having fun. There's nothing to stress about. It's simply just something to do just for no reason other than I like to do it. And I don't think that we allow ourselves the time or the space to do that enough because we have that guilty conscience. Like I said, I'm not being productive. I'm not getting ahead in work. I'm not getting ahead in finances. I'm not getting ahead in my household chores. I'm not getting ahead in whatever, all of these things. And so, and also how I mentioned, like I made that like a date night. We painted like the Santa mugs. That was something that I chose. I bought those mugs. I decided to do that. I decided to make that, you know, a date night. And so I did it because I enjoy it, but I wouldn't be able to do that with my partner if I chose a partner who wouldn't appreciate those kinds of things. You know what I mean? Like if my partner was like, that's tacky, that's lame, that's so boring, like I don't want to do that, like that would really disappoint me. I'd be like, but I get it. Okay. Like you're in your 30s. Maybe you don't want to paint a Santa mug. Maybe it's not the most like mature thing, but it's just fun. Who cares, you know? So that's why I think it's really important to like be with someone who appreciates the same things as you, respects and loves you and would do whatever to make you happy. And also gets the point, you know, sees the joy in it because would my man on his own go buy some Santa mugs and paint them? Of course not. But would he enjoy to do it with me? And did he make me feel like he enjoyed to do it with me? Yes, of course he did. And I've seen so many girls be with guys who just make them feel stupid or silly for liking what they like and putting down what they like. Because it's like, oh my God, are you kidding? That's so dumb. That's so stupid. Like, what's the point of that? Like, and it's like, there is no point. I just enjoy it. Like, you really have zero respect for me to the point where you can't understand, like, or you can't appreciate and allow me, you know, the space to just enjoy what I want. And like, even aside from a romantic partner, people have friends like that too, which I could never be friends with people like that who, you know, put you down, who make you feel, you know, like annoying or weird or silly for liking what you like. And so again, it's very important that every relationship in your life, romantic or not, you know, you make it a point to keep people close to you who understand your soul. There's like that saying that's like, make sure that the people in your life speak. Okay, I know what it is. I know what I always butcher quotes. I love quotes, but then I always butcher them. But this one is, I'm pretty sure I'm going to get it right. Okay, bear with me. Choose people who speak the same language as you. Otherwise, you will spend your lifetime translating your soul to everyone. Oh, boom shakalaka. I got it. Okay. Choose people who speak the same language as you. Otherwise, you will spend your lifetime translating your soul. It's very important that you speak the same language, that you're cut from the same cloth, that you're on the same page. And that doesn't mean you can't have people in your life or a partner in your life that you have differences, you know, with. Of course, people have different opinions, different beliefs, like whatever. Everybody has, their own shit, you know? Like, I'm not saying that you should only be friends with people who agree with you 100% of the time. I don't agree with my man 100% of the time. I don't agree with my friends 100% of the time. I don't agree with my family 100% of the time. And that's perfectly fine. We all have our own mindset and things that we, you know, think about or believe in or are opinionated on. And we also just have things that we care about more than others, you know? But that's not what I'm referring to. To be cut from the same cloth is, you know, to understand each other, to get each other. It's even to say, you know, I don't agree with you, but I could see where you're coming from. It's to have people who are empathetic toward you, who know your intentions, who, you know, you don't have to always over-explain yourself to. I cannot. I've always had people, not anymore, but I feel like I always had people in my life that I always had to explain myself to. I always had to be like defensive, you know, over-explaining. I hate it. Like, I can't. It's exhausting. It's tiring. It's very tiring to feel like these people just don't get me. Every time that I have a conversation, like, it's better that I just say nothing. I'd rather say nothing so I don't have to go down this, you know, rabbit hole again of over-explaining or making sure that they get me. It's like, you either get me or you don't. You know, it's like shit or get off the pot. You know that saying? I don't even think that that applies here, but whatever. I'm just throwing it out there. Get me or don't get me, you know? Like, that, it is what it is. And so it's very important that the people in your life and the partner that you choose and the friends that you choose speak your language. Otherwise, you're going to constantly have to explain yourself. And when it comes to doing things that simply make you happy, why do you want to go to that place? Just because I want to. Why do you want to do this? Just because I want to. Having people who could say, okay, cool, I'm down. I'll try it. If you want to do it, I'll do it. Those are the people that you want to keep in your life, the people who will heal those parts of you. And I also, like I always talk about journaling, I think journaling is really important when it comes to healing your inner child, because I always talk about how important it is to be mindful and live consciously rather than to do everything subconsciously or unconsciously. We do not have access to all of our thoughts and all of our desires because a lot of our thoughts and desires are buried so deep down all the way that they're hidden. You know, they are unconscious thoughts or desires. They are subconscious thoughts or desires. Just like, you know, when you do something that like you hate that you do it, but like it's just, you do it subconsciously. It's just second nature. It's like, shit, I did that again. I didn't even think about it, but I did it again. Or it's when you speak without thinking, you know, what they always say, think before you speak. Oftentimes we speak subconsciously, so we don't think before we speak. We just speak without thinking at all. All of that is living not mindfully, subconsciously, unconsciously. And I say how important it is to do the opposite, because when you journal and answer like journal prompts and, you know, you're putting pen to paper and just like brain dumping and answering questions and putting it all out there, you will uncover these things that you didn't even know existed. So journaling about healing your inner child in itself will heal your inner child and just be a peaceful thing to do, because you're going to say, oh my God, that thing and this thing and all of us, I didn't even realize that I cared about that. for those of you who are listening, the Queens of Confidence program, which is linked in the show notes, would be really, really good for you because I have tons of journal prompts out there. And I am big on journal prompts rather than just brain dumping because of, like I said, if you're just brain dumping, you really might only be able to journal what comes to the surface and what is, you know, on your conscience. But if you if you're asked a question, it could trigger a thought that says, oh shit, I never thought about it like that. Oh shit, I didn't even realize that I had that or that that was an option. So in the Queens of Confidence program, for all 8, I believe, I have tons of journal prompt questions. And so those journal prompt questions are designed to unleash what's hidden, you know, so far deep down and uncover all of those subconscious and unconscious things. And so when it comes to healing your inner child, I want you today to start to figure out what those things are. What are things that you always loved doing? How can you make the time to do them on a weekly or a monthly basis this year? I think 2025 is the year of making your soul happy. 2025 is the year of, you know, bringing these things out of you and spending more time with what makes your soul happy, doing what makes your soul happy, with the people that make your soul happy, and vetting your dating partners and the guys that you're seeing to make sure that they are on the same page as you. And it's so exciting and so much fun when you start to date, you know, someone for the first time, you know, like when you meet a guy and things are going well and, you know, whatever, you're just getting to know each other more and more and you both discover caring about the same thing, liking the same thing. Like, it is so much fun. So I really, really, really cannot stress enough having those conversations early on. I think when it comes to vetting, and especially if you're trying to figure out how compatible you are with someone when it comes to these interests and whatnot, is to simply have conversations in general around the topic. Even by asking, like, so what did you do growing up? Let them talk about what they did, what sports they played. Ask them, do you still make time for that? Whether or not they say yes or no, you ask what else they do. Like, what other things are you interested in? You know, what are your favorite things that you do for fun? What is fun to you? You know, you could just ask them in general, like, what do you consider fun? Like, forget work, outside of work. Like, what's something that just like makes you you, you know? And this is not meant to be question, answer, question, answer, question, answer. It's just meant to be a conversation. Just simply have a conversation with people. And that'll go a much longer way than being like, okay, there are some things you got to know if you want to hook up with me. So when it came to, you know, us talking about those things, it was never that formal or serious of like a sit down conversation. It's always like, this is just my life. I want to get to know about your life. These are the things I care about. I want to know what you care about. In general, it's important to do your journaling. Know yourself, know what you want, make the time to do those things. Figure out how you can incorporate the things that you love into your life regularly moving forward. And then you tell them about it. And you could share that part of your world with them. I always mention how when I was in pottery and my fiance and I had just started dating, it was around the time of like Valentine's Day of 2023. And I was like, oh, here's a little like Valentine's Day gift. Not that we exchanged gifts. I think he just like got me flowers and I made him this little pottery thing. We literally met like 2 weeks before Valentine's Day. So it wasn't that serious, but I made him a little like thingamajig. I don't even remember what it was. Some ceramic thing in pottery, a little like bowl with a lid, I think. And, you know, like I included him in my hobby. And he loved it. He was excited about it. He was like, I can't believe you made this for me. Again, I always loved arts and crafts. Not that pottery specifically was something I grew up doing. It wasn't. But I love to do artsy things and make things and give people things that I make. And so it made my soul happy to see him happy and excited to receive that thing from me. So, you know, you just start including them and incorporating, you know, them into that world little by little. And just make sure that you're on the same page. It's very important that you're with someone who appreciates those things that you appreciate as well. But I also think, like, if you are single especially, it's really important to start doing them now. And to just get yourself to a point where you have your work situated, you have your goals, your fitness, your career, your financial goals, you have all that stuff situated. And additionally, you have your personal life and the things that make you happy, and you make the time for them, and they just simply feel good to you. They feel right to you. And that's it. That's all there is to it. I want to put out there that I have, because I feel like I haven't said it in a while, I haven't gotten a Dear Victoria advice submission in quite a bit. So for those of you who are seeking advice on a situation where you have a question, you need some guidance on, I typically offer a segment at the end of the episodes called Dear Victoria. So for those of you who are in need of my advice on whatever you're dealing with, email me, make the subject Dear Victoria. My email address is victoria.forthegirlspodcast@gmail.com. And send me your situation. Anyone that I do have that I never got to is just really old, and I don't want to give anyone advice on a situation from 6 months ago. So I'm definitely in need of some new submissions. And yeah, try to condense it as much as possible. Sometimes people send novels with screenshots and things that are just way too much that I will not be able to get to. If you need coaching, you can go on victorialario.com and I will help you with coaching, because it seems like we have a lot more to work through than just a 15-minute Dear Victoria advice segment. But yeah, you can email me again, victoria.forthegirlspodcast@gmail.com, subject line Dear Victoria. Keep your message as short and sweet as possible. If you are watching on Spotify, be sure to leave 5 stars and a little comment at the end of this episode letting me know what you thought about this episode. If you are listening on Apple Podcasts, be sure to leave me 5 stars and a review at the bottom of the podcast page of For the Girls. And if you are watching on YouTube, be sure to like, comment, and subscribe. It will help me so much. And yeah, that is all we have for today. Thank you, girls, so much for listening. Until next time, girls.